Hello, everyone. My name is William Buletta, and today I am at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, and I'm joined by Dan Barkowiak, who is the Director of Communications at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, right? Or just the Family Institute in general?
Pennsylvania Family is, there's a few different parts of organization, but yeah, the main part that's been around for about 35 years is Pennsylvania Family Institute.
All right. So the first question I want to ask you is, with your business background, as you were telling me that you went to Grove City College, what got you into this communications role here at the Family Institute?
Well, it's great. As I look back, I've been very blessed to be even into the organization, being a business major.
Yeah,
I knew a little bit of nonprofit organizations, but it wasn't something that I was too familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out of college, you're kind of looking at jobs, obviously.
Yeah.
And there was, I was dating a girl at the time. She lived around the Harrisburg area. And so I was moving into that area and trying to just find different opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing with Michael Gear as the president of the organization,
mm-hmm.
actually, I'm glad to point out that I am now his son-in-law.
Awesome.
And so it was his daughter
okay.
who was part of the organization. And so we truly are a family institute. But no, I'm just very blessed. There was an aspect that the Family Institute was a part of called Pennsylvania for Marriage.
Okay.
So at the time, it was looking, states were passing marriage amendments to protect the union of one man and one woman as the definition of marriage.
Yeah.
And obviously, we've seen a lot over the years where that has gone. But at the time, it was something that states were trying to engage upon.
And
there were a few people part of that organization, the Knights of Columbus, Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. And I was hired for a 3-month job for a project manager to be involved in that campaign. And that turned into 6 months, turned into a year. And over that time, I was in the office of the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Yeah.
So honestly, it's kind of served as an internship for me. I was able to learn a lot of what the Institute did while I was in that role. And I was just very thankful to be able to learn from folks like Michael Gear, to Shaheen, those that are part of Pennsylvania Family Institute, and to be able to then be on full time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's translated into where we are now. We've grown. Mm-hmm. Our law center has grown, Independence Law Center. We have a church ambassador network led by Kurt Weaver. So over time, it's definitely, we've grown as an organization, and I'm just blessed to be a part of the team.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, as a young person as well, like when you were a young person, you saw that you were looking in on this organization or young organization. It's great to see how you just kind of embraced it regardless of what your role is. And then you progressed with it and you kept with it and you stayed with it. And here you are. So I just want to ask you a couple questions about what you were talking about yesterday in your panel or speech about the legalization of marijuana. And that, I think that's one of the topics that you've lately been tackling. If you could go into detail as the consequences that legalizing marijuana has, even in the medical sense, quote unquote.
Yeah, well, you know, bringing up from a medical standpoint, I think we need to identify what we're talking about
when we
say marijuana. You know, oftentimes there's a false dichotomy presented is you might not want to throw somebody in jail because they're smoking a joint. And so, I guess I have to legalize recreational use. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
And really, there's four areas of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And one certainly is the medical program. And I would suggest there's improvements that could be made to our medical program. But there is that aspect, and that's current law in Pennsylvania. So really, we do legalize marijuana in Pennsylvania from a medical perspective.
Yeah.
Then, if there are issues from a criminal justice perspective that we want to improve upon, there's efforts from a decriminalizing this issue that you could be had and a discussion that can be had.
Yeah.
That's very different than the retail marijuana, commercializing the sale of, frankly, an addictive and harmful drug for recreational purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And to have it where you see in these states experimenting with that there are more pot shops than Starbucks and McDonald's combined.
War.
You know, this is something that is pushed in your face, advertised, and it's high potency THC. It's very different than what it was decades ago in terms of the psychoactive component of marijuana, the strength of it.
Right.
And so you combine that with an industry that's backed by big tobacco that is trying to get more addictive use of their drug, targeting young audience, young children's, to basically get a user for life.
Exactly.
And it's very, again, similar to big tobacco. And so there is this recognition needed of the harms of marijuana in today's marijuana, and knowing that there are different areas that we can address this issue, not just fully commercializing that drug. I think there's improvements to medical. there can be improvements to our criminal justice system. That can be had very different than opening up the gates to really 90% plus THC being retail sale throughout the state.
Yeah. I mean, I work at Chick-fil-A, and sometimes I'm working the drive-thru, and I'll smell some marijuana in the car. Or I actually had this experience where someone was actually smoking it while they were ordering. So this is a significant issue, I would say. It's pretty widespread. So could you maybe go into the consequences of marijuana in general? Like if someone was to start using marijuana, what would that kind of downward spiral look like?
Yeah, well, it's certainly, you know, different people are going to be impacted in different ways. Yeah. But one thing we do certainly understand as this experiment has gone on in other states is the younger you use, the worse your outcomes will be.
Okay.
From brain development, from the intensity of the THC,
and
it is impacting youth and children in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see with legalization, you know, when you increase that access to the product and you get essentially companies that are trying to make more profit, that they're going to try to target more users, they're going to want to encourage more use of it, obviously. And so that impact we're seeing in legalized states, the increase in marijuana use and just in general, you know, I was in high school 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And potency at that time was single digit, you know, what you'd smoke. Vaping was not around. It didn't exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at today's market, in the span of 20 years, we've seen marijuana use double and the daily use quadruple.
That's great.
And it's that daily use.
Yeah.
Frankly, the addictive nature of using marijuana is of the chief concern.
Yeah.
And particularly even a young audience, young adults that are getting caught up in using this. So is everyone going to be addicted to marijuana use? No. We've certainly seen the rise in those addictive characteristics and more people being by that. I've talked with someone that is in the treatment area where she runs a facility for adults coming in. And, you know, oftentimes marijuana could be talked about as like a gateway drug, something that just starts.
Is this a recovery type thing?
Yeah, recovery. So it's Care and Treatment Center is one, basically kind of the Reading area.
Mm-hmm.
And she has seen the rise in more men coming to their facility solely addicted to marijuana. You know, oftentimes we think that, oh, marijuana's that entry-level drug. And you know, sadly, those that do harder drugs, they often start with marijuana. Is just the fact. It's what talking with law enforcement, talking with those involved. But a big thing that we've seen is just because of that higher potency, we are seeing more harm. And those that are harmed just solely with marijuana use.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be more of a recognition of that.
Right.
I'm involved with Pennsylvania Family Institute. We get involved in a variety of areas at the state capitol.
Yeah.
And with state lawmakers, state representatives, state senators. And it's sad to hear from them and from some, and some of this will be, you know, people's family and friends that claim that there's no harmful traits of marijuana. There's no addictive nature of it. And it's just, you're really stuck in an age that maybe it was the Woodstock days thinking marijuana, well, I did it as a teenager. It didn't really harm me. And I'm fine today. But it's just not today's marijuana. It's unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And the variety of products, the vaping that we're seeing, I mean, you've got flavors that cover the rainbow in terms of what they have for vaping, and the THC content, 80%, 85%, 92% THC. I mean, those are things that we're still trying to understand how impactful that's going to be even on society. But we do recognize there are more people ending up in the ER, that there are more mental illnesses that are occurring as a result of this. There's more car crashes and fatalities, frankly, in some of these states. There's a variety of costs that have to be considered when a state moves to this experiment to really kind of increase the use of this addictive and harmful drug. And we're seeing those problems in those states experimenting. And that's why I want to make sure that it doesn't happen here in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
So you mentioned that this is an experiment. And when I hear that, the first thing that I think of is like, oh, it's not proven. It's just a hypothesis that, oh, this is something that's good. So the fact that you're phrasing it as an experiment to me is just an immediate red flag, the fact that we'd even consider experimenting on people and legalizing it. So have you found that there are any medical benefits to marijuana, or is it all just myth and all experimentation?
Yeah, well, no, that's a good point. And it's kind of, where do we draw lines when it comes to drug abuse?
Right.
And I think something that needs to be pointed out, what's going on in the state of Oregon is really kind of, in some ways, fascinating, but incredibly scary in terms of what they did several years ago to just essentially legalize all drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was thinking, well, maybe this is going to help treatment, this is going to help people. it backfired completely.
Right.
There are so many people that have been harmed and damaged for life because of that type of policy. Mm-hmm. And just recently, they now recriminalized those drugs. And so obviously, and this, when that first came out, they were talking about it, an experiment. There were talk show hosts that were saying, oh, this is going to be a fascinating experiment. We're going to see. And they were thinking this is going to be a model for the country. Boy, that was the complete opposite. And so I think there is that level of an experiment that, especially with the industry's version of marijuana, we don't know the impact that 90% THC being vaped on a daily use, how that is going to impact users, how that's going to impact society.
Mm-hmm.
It's still trying to, you know, science is really even playing catch up with us. But it underscores how any movement for a commercialized market should be paused.
Right.
At least to even just let the medical catch on. You know, medical use, there is an approved one strain of marijuana plant to help with epilepsy. And so, though, you know, there are some synthetic drugs, about three of them that have been approved from the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly starting to be evidence to show, okay, from a medical basis, there are, you know, almost the prescription for it to be helping somebody, whether it's getting cancer treatments, but particularly the epilepsy kind of episodes. We are seeing that marijuana is something that's being an approved treatment.
Right.
But I'd wonder also the age that the person is, you know, again, the younger the age, I think the worse the outcomes we're seeing. So there needs to be even some hesitancy there. But also this idea that marijuana could be used for all kinds of ailments. And, you know, here in Pennsylvania, so much of it, one is chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a doctor that just gives you a medical card to then go into a medical dispensary and essentially get whatever you want.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be a helpful way to go about a medical program. So that's, again, where I think there needs to be improvements to the program. But, you know, if there are some evidences to show that there could be some uses from a medical perspective, let's have that discussion in that type of market. But many times there are some that are for that, but in a way that says, I should be able to grow this and I should be able to buy this as much as I want. And that's, again, it just leads to the commercialization of this drug. And that's been the problem.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think even further than that, I think that this drug in excess, anything is bad. I mean, gaming, watching football all day. I mean, there are so many things that it's like, oh, well, the company's providing it or the institution's providing really any of these things. They can get people hooked on it. And once they're hooked on it, they can make money. And I think that in this situation, this is another perfect example of why once someone gets hooked on something or they're addicted to something, that company is now making money from it. And I think that that is another really big incentive as well. And I think that this actually leads me into my next question. What is the incentive for these companies to, I forget exactly what it was, THC? Yeah, okay. So what is the incentive for these companies to have a higher THC on their products?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And again, it does underscore, you know, this, there is this industry, it's backed by big tobacco.
Right.
There are those that are viewing dollar signs when it comes to what science says is an addictive drug. I mean, every health organization in our country is opposed to the retail sale of this drug.
Right.
And a lot of it looks at that from a medical perspective. But, you know, if I'm a company, obviously, the stronger the THC, the hypothetically the stronger the high to the user. You know, again, that it can take different forms depending on, you know, person size and weight,
it'll
impact you differently. But in general, the stronger the potency, the stronger the high, there's going to be a market that says, I want that stronger high. And so they're going to charge more for it. So essentially, if we can get more people addicted to marijuana, that's going to start to say, okay, I'm going to build up my potency to where I'm going to want these high potency levels. And so you're going to be paying more. And so there's always that desire. I mean, these companies are hiring chemists to be able to extract as much THC content out of marijuana, to be able to grow it as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're getting THC levels with dry flower in the 30% ranges of THC, which, you know, back in Woodstock days, it was single digits. And then you have these, you know, vapings and dabs with THCs, it can often be 80s, 90% THC. And so again, there's an industry that is seeing the dollar sign, not caring about the costs that this will have on certain families. I've talked with too many moms that have seen their son go through this, and it's either led to an overdose of different drugs, it's led to a death, it's led to them being in rehab, it's ruined their life. And we need to come to grips with that of saying, this high potency of industry that wants to target these young users, we have to push back on this. We can't just allow them to come into our state. And yes, there's other states experimenting with that, but it absolutely is an experiment. And we're seeing the harm in that. I've often pointed Temple University as a study just came out last year, looking at states that have done this and have seen the increase in youth use. The perception of harm has decreased. The factors being, you know, you have the various potencies, the amount of products that are out there. You have the advertising that takes place. I mean, again, I've seen ads from New Jersey on social media that are all, like, they're using Disney princesses to come in for a party at their dispensary. I mean, this is targeting a young age, and it's just not something that I want here in Pennsylvania. And I think these other states are starting to grasp this concern. I think Washington state is fascinating. The Seattle Times have had numerous op-eds in the last couple months that look particularly at the potency level. And there's a great political cartoon where it ties into the tobacco industry, you know, big tobacco. And it said what it used to be is big tobacco executives were saying cigarettes are not harmful. And obviously we know that they are very harmful, very addictive. And now the book that's today is the marijuana and saying super potent pot is harmless. And it's just not the case. Not what we're seeing in these states that are experimenting with legalization. And they're trying to have efforts to now roll back some of what they've done. So we need to learn from them. And a lot of those lessons point to saying a retail sale of marijuana for recreational purposes is not helpful for society, not helpful for Pennsylvania families.
So do you know if there are like any lacing, like fentanyl and things like that in the marijuana? Because I've heard multiple stories that have made the news about how someone has taken a drug, for example, and it was their prescription drug, and it was laced with fentanyl, and they happened to die because of it. And I think that the potency of marijuana and being addicted to it, I think that that is something where it needs to be considered to some extent. But there is a possibility of lacing, right? So have you seen any examples of there actually being fentanyl being laced into it or any other harmful drug being laced into it?
It's a great question. And I think those that are behind seeing marijuana in a retail market have often kind of quoted, we need to have a safe product. You know, those that are seeing the opioid epidemic that is ravaging so many families and seeing fentanyl and these drugs being used in things like marijuana, there is certainly that taking place. I think in that it's also, we need to, one, recognize the harm of marijuana use. Even if you're getting it from a quote-unquote legal store, the particularly the THC levels, we are seeing the increased harms with just marijuana use. And that's something that, you know, again, those at the Capitol, you know, some will say, oh, it's not addictive, it's not harmful. You know, the only thing at risk with legalization are potato chips. You know, they're trying to just kind of be making jokes of this. But again, it's not understanding today's market that is unlike anything we've ever seen. The potency levels and the variety of products is just causing that harm. I think there needs to be understanding that those things cause a variety of costs. So the use of marijuana outside of, especially from a medical standpoint, and I think there's a narrow focus that should be had from that medical standpoint, that there is the issues that can arise with using marijuana that I think are not being recognized in our society. There's also, there's always going to be a black market. We see in these states that have the mentality saying, okay, we want to have a safe product. There's always that black market. You know, I talked with a undercover law enforcement just the other day and out in the Pittsburgh area. And he was talking about just the issue with the black market and seeing in other states that have done this. He's like, I mean, if I can sell a vape pen for $30 that's, you know, in the store for $80, where are you going to go? And so many are going to want that cheaper product. And if they have, I got my drug dealer, I got the, you know, there's those variables, And so, again, I think with legalization, it has not ended the black market. Colorado, it's thriving. California, it's absolutely thriving, the black market, illicit market. And so there needs to be a recognition that says, you know, just with legalization, there are some thinking it's going to wash out the black market. That hasn't happened in any of the states experimenting with this. And so if it's not helping the black market and it seems to be in some areas fueling it, you know, maybe there's something that needs to be done differently. And again, in those that are advocating for that, there's often not that recognition of harm with this, what American Medical Association calls a dangerous drug, what American Addiction Centers calls an addictive drug. I mean, the evidence is there that clearly shows the harm that this causes to a variety of people from a public policy perspective. Is it going to happen to everybody? No. From a public policy perspective, the public health and safety should be the top concern.
Right.
We're seeing more harm. We're seeing more safety concerns by legalizing this drug, and that needs to be more talked about and pushed back on.
So if someone was to get addicted to marijuana, what's the process look like for them to get out of that addiction?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. There's sadly, you know, a growing number of people that are trying to now recognize they have a problem. Mm-hmm. Cannabis use disorder is kind of a term for addiction now.
Okay.
And trying to find help. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different than, you know, oftentimes people might bring up alcohol. Mm-hmm. You know, how marijuana goes through your system can be very different. It can linger for lengthy periods of time, you know, weeks on end. And so it depends maybe on, again, the amount of potency, the high THC that you were using, how often you were using, your weight and age, you know, those are factors, but there absolutely can be kind of that in that recovery time where kind of the ailments that you'll have and going into these recovery areas, trying to help those wean off from that. There's a friend of mine, his name Jordan, and talking with him, he was addicted to high potency marijuana and the impact that it had on his friends. You know, friends were telling him, you know, I don't really want to hang out with you anymore. I don't know who you are now because of the change that it made in his attitude and his demeanor. And he finally came to a realization. He had some stays in hospitals, had pneumonia, I think, and finally came to a recognition that this is not something that is helpful, and finally got some help. And it took some time to wean off the crave, I guess, or that high potency THC. So again, it's going to look differently for different users, but there's absolutely an addictive trait to marijuana, and it's going to be different degrees that you see and the level of dependency. But again, I think there's a lot of people that don't associate an addictiveness with marijuana. And again, it's whether you're, you know, you were in college decades ago and it just was a different product, or you're just not looking at what today's market is like. It just very much is. There are people being addicted to marijuana use.
Yeah. So I guess because my immediate thought is, okay, well, it's different for each person, right? So I guess that makes it harder to be treated then, because it really depends on your situation. I mean, your age, like you said, your weight, the intensity, the concentration of THC. So could you maybe go into a little bit more depth of exactly what THC is?
Yeah, it's needing to understand. So obviously there's a variety of psychoactive components to marijuana, and there's a variety of products now on the market. You know, talk about gas station weed.
Right.
So your Delta 8 and Kratom, and obviously CBD comes into play. And so, you know, there's so many different products that are out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that came about with a few years ago, the Farm Bill nationally that was passed, and it allowed hemp-based products. Right. Well, it was meant to have, you know, actual products that aren't ingested. And what it turned into is allowing really kind of this Wild West nature of, you know, there's about 100 different components of the cannabis plant. And, you know, THC Delta 9 is the most well-known in terms of the psychoactive component.
Right.
So what will mess with your brain function? What can mess with your overall body?
Mm-hmm.
There are other components, and then they're different leveling of how they impact you. But, you know, something like a Delta 8.
Right.
That doesn't have necessarily as strong of a psychoactiveness, a mind-altering part of the THC Delta 9, but it still has an impact. So it's not to say like these are nothing, that you're going to, I need to build up to then get to the Delta 9. They are having impacts. They are having issues, you know, again, Kratom, you know, being something that I think has caught news cycles and trying to highlight, actually, this is something that is a mind-altering substance and can cause things like a vehicle crash if you're on, or, you know, the mood swings and then different parts of your growing body, especially for your users. So it's starting to be hard to understand even just the variety of products that are out there. I mean, there's local stores popping up that are selling these and not necessarily needing licenses for it, or there are states that are beginning to put bans on these types of, I guess, gas station weed, I'd say. So again, I think that we're playing catch up in terms of understanding the harms that this drug is causing.
Yeah.
But in particular, the Delta 9, what we know is that very much the psychoactive mind-altering component, the more we're playing catch up, the more science is understanding, it is causing more concerns. I mean, there's things, American Heart Association saw an increase in heart attack.
Right.
And you have just seen with the increase in potencies, you know, Bloomberg just had an article last week talked about the increase in car crashes, and about 1,000 more are expected in each state annually that have legalized. So there is this impact, particularly with Delta 9, that needs to be recognized. And it needs to, it's kind of the, if I'm a firefighter, this is like the 5-alarm fire.
Yeah.
There's absolutely some 3-alarms, 4-alarm when it comes to the varying degrees of what marijuana is and synthetic marijuana.
Right.
But again, the Delta 9 is something that we need to push back on in the state.
Right. Okay. So how long have you been researching marijuana in general? Because I know that you apparently have all this knowledge about marijuana, but it seems like that this is something that you have done quite a bit of research on. But just can you outline how long you've been doing it?
Yeah. I mean, as an organization, Pennsylvania Family Institute, right, we take a variety of positions when it comes to issues impacting families. Mm-hmm. And we began to see this several legislative sessions ago. You know, obviously states, you know, Colorado, Washington State, mm-hmm, has been over a decade now of, right, legalization. But really, the threat here in Pennsylvania only started really these last few years. And so really that started to pick up in terms of the research, right, really pushing back on what marijuana is looking like in our state. Thankfully, we've had lawmakers that have not looked the route of experimenting on, yeah, this drug. And so the more that there has been that discussion, the more the research that was needed. So,
right,
it wasn't something, you know, growing up, again, I was in high school 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I knew marijuana was around, often the dime bags that were sold and students smoking it out of school. But I talk with students and teachers today, and it's just such a different atmosphere. It's feeling like there's a variety of users. You have kids going to the bathrooms in schools, you know, to do use a THC to just take one hit of a vape pen. And vape pens can look like a highlighter. They, right, can look like things. And there's, yeah, students that are doing it in class. They're motorless. You know, it's just such a different atmosphere, and,
right,
how we're having to fight back on this, even from a teacher perspective. You're putting in sensors in, right, bathrooms that cost $1,000 each that specifically will detect THC, mm-hmm, and marijuana being used. And so there's just so much that are needed to be pushed back,
right,
on this.
It's more available.
Right. And despite, you know, there are kids certainly in Pennsylvania that are using marijuana.
Right.
It's not to deny that just because we don't have a recreational use, then, mm, no kids are using it.
Right.
But it's another thing to have the law speak into it saying that this is okay. We've sadly said from a medical perspective that marijuana use, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, how many kids view that and think, oh, I'm going to use it because, hey, it's medical. Why not? And that is sent a, right, horrible message.
It's just the way that it's labeled makes it seem less harmful than it actually is.
Isn't
it? Yeah.
And so I think there absolutely needs to be a change in our society, really,
okay,
to recognize this. You know, I point to when I was growing up was the Truth Initiative, you know, when it came to nicotine smoking. And so many of the images of people that, yeah, have a hole in their neck to have to talk, or the amount of the body count that it's happened, the frankly addictive nature of nicotine. And so many of those advertisements made an impact. I don't know if I necessarily was going to be somebody to smoke, but,
right,
in seeing a lot of those ads, I was like, I don't want this to be me.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, sadly, I think we're starting to see that same industry, the tobacco industry, looking at marijuana, looking at trying to get more addiction there. And I think there's going to be a need to have a truth initiative for marijuana use to highlight, here's the actual harms. I mean, again, I point to an example, you know, you look at some stories of real life happenings. There's,
yeah,
a former American Idol contestant that took one hit of a vape pen, got in his car and killed somebody, ran over somebody. And he didn't know at the time, like, what he even did, like, what happened? And it didn't have this recognition of even just a one hit of a, yeah, vape pen can have something that mind alters you, and he's ruined his life.
Yeah.
And so just the need to have more educational opportunities to say, here's what the use of marijuana looks like. Here's what today's,
yeah,
version looks like. I think the more we get that out there, the more people are going to say, yeah, this is probably not something I want to start using or continue to use.
Right. I appreciate you coming on and talking about marijuana. I know that this is a conversation that needs to be had with everyone around their table, of course.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Good discussion. And,
yeah,
I need to have more of it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and you have a good day.